Spirit, one God, amen. So tonight we're going to just talk about relationships with the opposite sex. I know you'd much rather talk about relationships with saints and relationships with the confession father, but you know, as part of your duty, you have to learn about the opposite sex. So this talk, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 35 minutes, I'm barely going to mention the opposite sex. But it's all going to be to prepare you for the last 5 minutes. All right? Anyone who falls asleep or leaves early, you miss the sunshine. Another thing, why am I going to go through so much detail? When my child, one of my kids, is walking along the side of the road, and we're walking next to the highway, I can't let go of her hand. My daughter's 4. I can't say to her, Abigail, do you know if you run into the highway, you might be maimed, a truck could hit you, lose your leg, you know, you'd be in a wheelchair 50 years, you might die. And she's going to look at me like, you know, and run across the road. There's no idea what I'm talking about. But when she gets to an age where I can say, Abby, it's really dangerous for you along the road. It's bad for you. And I can see that she understands, I can let go of her hand. It's finished. I don't need to hold her hand anymore. She understands. So that's what tonight's about. Unfortunately, in our church, when it comes to the opposite sex, we're too often only given rules without understanding. And to the extent that you don't understand, you may or may not follow the rules. Because you don't understand.
That's a mushkila.
Yeah. So, what tonight is about is trying to get you guys to understand the rules. Because if you really understand the consequences of not doing things right, if you really understand, then the church can let go of your hand. There's no need to hold you anymore. You don't need fences anymore. You understand. And you'll do what's right. Because what's right is good for you. And you'll understand it and you'll do it by nature. By nature. You won't even be tempted. It'll be by nature and you'll do it yourself. Okay? So that's why we're going to talk in a lot of detail tonight. So, take a step back. I say this every talk just about the living here. So you'll be bored if you hear this talk a lot. But I always say, the Lord, and a lot of the saints, a lot of the fathers say, the Lord, when he created the earth, he created so many things, if not everything, in order to reveal to us the heavenly. He created earthly things so that when we look at them, we might understand the heavenly. An example, he created the sun. He said, how am I going to let my people know that I am big? I emit warmth. I emit light. And that light is life. And without it, there is no life. And away from it, it is darkness and cold. What I will do is I'll create the sun. And when they look into the sun, they'll feel warm. And when they put their plants in the sun, it will grow. And they'll be drawn to it, and they will love the sun. And when there is an absence of sun, it'll be dark and cold. And then they'll see that when they're away from the Lord, it is like being in the darkness and the cold, and you're stumbling, you don't know where you're going. Or he might say, for example, I'm going to create plants that give fruit. That when you cultivate them and look after the plant grows up and it gives fruit, and you can pick that fruit and you can eat it and the fruit is nice. And imagine the Lord saying, and I will do that so that when the Lord Jesus is incarnated, he can come and say, you have to bear good fruits. How can the Lord say you need to bear good fruits if there's nothing called fruit? You'll go, what are you talking about, go bear good fruits? But if he's created plants that have fruits, then he can say, you also need to be like that plant And if you are good and strong and healthy, you will naturally bear good fruit, which is good for others to eat. So it's like everything that is created is to give us insight into the heavenly. Much more important than the earthly. Everything that's created is to let us understand God. Okay? If you start thinking about that, you'll be blown away. We could have been born adults. We could have been born self-sufficient. There are lots of animals who are born. Yes, they're small, but their parents leave them. And they just look after themselves, start eating, everything's fine. And before long, they're completely independent. But he didn't. He made us babies. And over years of tender care, you grow and you become independent. So that you can see your spiritual life starts very young, and over years it grows and develops and matures before the Lord. If it is nourished and fed and looked after and does all the right things, your spiritual life will grow. So what's this got to do with relationships? What does marriage represent spiritually? So if the Son, you can't answer this. If the Son is like to show the Lord's light, if fruit is to show that we have to bear fruits, so that you can't also cheat. So not even from three seats around you.
I can't answer that.
So if all these things are given to us to give us insight into the heavenly, what might marriage give? And I'll give you an example. God made us male and female, and he created the institution of marriage. You might say, oh, he's done that so that, we have to have babies, we have to populate the earth, so he has to make us male and female. Well, God had a blank canvas. It wasn't male. He could have made us have asexual reproduction, like some plant species and even some small microbes. They just bud. It is bud, imagine a bit of your finger comes off, and then it's a baby. We could have been unisex. There was absolutely no need for the Lord to make us male and female. Absolutely no need. He's God. He doesn't play by any rule book. He's forced to do something. We could have all been unisex. And when we get old, yep, you bud, your five fingers come off, and you got five kids. And then you die. Absolutely no need to make male and female. Why all this trouble? Right? But he made male and female and he created marriage. What does the Bible tell us is the reason for that? What's God trying to give us insight into? What's he trying to help us understand by making males and females and creating marriage for them? What's he trying to show us? Anybody know? We're going to open the Bible. Any ideas? All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Everyone have a Bible on their lap or next to them, please. Ephesians chapter 5. So, Jonathan? Read this loud. So Ephesians, guys, everyone have a Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 28 to 33. And remember, the point of this reading is we're trying to work out why did God give us males and females and marriage? What's he trying to help us understand about the heavenly, about the understanding? Hey, Jonathan? 5, 28 to 33.
So husbands ought to love their own wives with their own bodies. Who loves his own wives loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as God does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and two shall become one flesh. Yeah?
Yep, to the end.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband.
So does anybody know the answer now to my question? Why has the Lord given us the institution, given us males and females, and created them to be joined to one flesh in the institution of marriage? What's he trying to show us?
His love for us.
It's like a metaphor of his love towards the church.
Yes. Or a physical manifestation of it. So let's read. The critical verse is verse 32. I'm going to ask you another question about this verse. It's really critical. So verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Here's my question, right? So he says, you know, husbands, love your wives. You've got to give your life for them, wives. Respect your husbands, submit to them, as you know, Christ is head of the church, the husband, the head of the wife. He says, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Right? He's quoting from the Old Testament. The two shall become one flesh. And then he says, this is a great mystery. What's his next word after that? But. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Isn't that strange? Why does he say but? Can anybody get my line of thought here? Why does he say but? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Who here is smart enough to tell me why he says but? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
But he says the but is there because since it's concerning Christ and the church, the great mystery can remain a great mystery because it's got to do with him. Christ.
Yeah, it could be, but it's not quite where I'm going.
Okay.
Anyone else want to say why is he say but? Yeah. Any ideas? Yes?
Maybe because the situation's changed. Because in the Old Testament, Christ wasn't there technically. So because now he's speaking in the New Testament, he's obviously trying to relate it to Christ. And seeing how
it's So let's say it again. I'm going to label this point. It's really important. So he says, guys, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. And he quotes the Old Testament, because a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Why does he say but?
To show the main focus is Christ's love for the church.
Yeah, you're really close. That's right. Do you know what he's doing is right? He's sitting there preaching to them, husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands. And then he talks about a man and a woman becoming one flesh. And then he is being drawn away into the relationship of Christ and the church. He, in fact, is reading that Old Testament verse, realizing that it is written about who? Christ and the church. That a man shall leave his father and mother. Christ descends out of heaven, and he is joined in one flesh to his church. He says, this is a great mystery. And everyone who's sitting there must be thinking, oh, St. Paul's, you know, Paul's sitting there thinking that husbands and wives being married is a great mystery. Say no. The great mystery is Christ and the church. That's the great mystery. And then the next verse he says, nevertheless, husbands love your wives, wives love their, you know, submit to husbands. The point of all of this, the reason why I labour this so much, is because marriage is given to us so we can understand Christ's relationship with the church. The Lord has created marriage, male and female, to be joined as one flesh, and created marriage for them so that you might have some hope of being able to understand Christ's relationship with the church. Can you imagine that? And so Paul is like contemplating off in the stratosphere about the mystery. What a mystery. The first marriage ever was Christ in the church. And so that we could understand that marriage, God had to make male and female and had to have them be joined as one flesh sexually in marriage so that they would have some hope of being able to comprehend Christ and the church. I say this because if you can understand that, and even if you can't, it's cool if you can't, but if you can understand that, you'll see marriage completely differently. You won't just say, oh, we want to be with the girl, we want to be with the guy. Right? That institution has been given to give you insight into Christ's relationship with the church. It's in fact just symbolic. Christ's relationship with the church isn't a symbol of marriage. Marriage is a symbol of Christ's relationship with the church. Okay? All right, let's move on. That's point number one. God has given us male and female and sexual relationships in marriage, that union of love in one flesh, so that we can understand his relationship with the church. Okay? All right. So let's talk about the physical relationship in marriage. Let's talk about that physical relationship. In marriage, there is a physical relationship. And it is a part of marriage. It is an outward expression of a man and a woman's love for each other. And it is an integral part of marriage. It's an important part of marriage. There are a few things that we need to say about the physical relationship. I want everyone here to be mature, right? I hope I'm the least mature person here, okay? Second least mature person here. That's
right. Why is everyone laughing?
1 point for Mark, zero for Tad.
Okay. So, firstly, the sexual relationship in marriage is pleasurable and it is designed to be pleasurable. This is an important part of this talk with your understanding. Make no mistakes about it. The Lord has created sexual intercourse. He created it. He designed it. And he made it by his grace to be pleasurable. Anyone here who thinks that that's devilish or sinful, or it's man's thoughts, or it's a man has created sexual intercourse in a dirty way, you are wrong. And that is a heresy to say that. It is not the devil, and it is not man's creation. The Lord has made everything in man and woman. He has made genitals. He has made them to be pleasurable when stimulated. He has made the act of sexual intercourse. He has made men and women to enjoy it. You have to understand that. It's in fact really important you understand that. And you demystify that. He's created it to be. He wants you, if you are not drawn to be consecrated, he wants you to enjoy it. He does not want you to be denied it. He wants you to enjoy it. He's created it for enjoyment. Okay? That's point number one. The physical relationship in marriage is designed to be pleasurable.
That was point two.
Sorry?
That was point two.
The point one of that second section. Thank you for taking me away. Okay. The act of making love is totally linked with having children, right? They are, it's not the only reason for making love, but they are one and the same act. As though, as well, to give us that sense that in that act of love, there is new life. Same as Christ and the church. In his act of love with the church, there is new life born into the church. New souls, new repentance, new spirits. So they are one and the same. And the third thing to say about this physical relationship, it is not the be-all and the end-all of marriage. The sexual relationship is one part of marriage, an important part of marriage, but definitely not all marriage is about. It's an important part, but marriage is about so much more. So much more than just the physical relationship. Okay? So let me just summarize what we've said so far. Number one, Maggie, we've said that Christ has made, God has created male, female, and marriage to give us an understanding of Christ's relationship with the church, his love for the church, his complete submission to the church, his giving everything to the church, him sacrificing himself for the church in complete love for the church, and the church loving the Lord and coming to the Lord and being under the Lord, protected by the Lord, serving the Lord, submitting to the Lord, obeying the Lord. And in that love, there are children born in the church. So the Lord has given us male, females, marriage and sexual intercourse in order to let us understand Christ's relationship with the church. That's point number one. Number two, within marriage, God has made lovemaking to be pleasurable. He created it. He designed it. It's his design. Everything about it is his design. And it is his design also for having children, but it's only one part of marriage. Okay. So let's move on. If you can understand that, then we can start talking about the premarital relationship. If you can't understand what I've said so far, then talking about the premarital relationship, again, is going to be in a vacuum. So I hope you understand. If you didn't understand it, grab me afterwards, okay? Let's talk about the premarital relationship. In simple terms, what is the purpose of the premarital relationship? In simple terms. Before you get married... Before you get married, what's the purpose of your relationship with another girl? Because there's a relationship before marriage. You don't just meet them on your wedding night, right? You go, which one is it? Which one is it? They go, the one in the white dress.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
Or not nice.
Yeah. The red dress, no, the white dress. All right, so what is... So there's a relationship before marriage. What's the purpose? What's the purpose in the church's teaching? What's the purpose of that relationship?
Get to know each other.
Yes, to get to know each other. Is that it?
Your compatibility with the other person.
Compatibility? That's a loaded word. We'll talk about that later on. Loaded word. What's your name?
Christopher.
Coming back to you, Christopher. It's a dangerous word, compatibility.
Yes, isn't it?
So, come on, guys. What else? What else is the purpose of the premarital? So you're on the right track. But maybe expand on that. What do you mean by compatibility?
To see if you're able to withstand long amounts of time with one.
That's a great start.
Actually, just shorten it back to compatibility. Let's just go back to one word answer. Come on, guys. Anything from the girls? What's premarital relationship for? What do you reckon? Are they always this talking?
No, it's just amazing.
One at a time, guys, one at a time.
Mark,
what do you reckon?
Sally, no?
No, guys.
No? Sally?
I got
nothing. Yeah, I don't know. Rafa? Come on, guys. It's not rocket science. David, what do you reckon? What's the purpose?
Well, if that's the person that God's ordained for you to be with.
Excellent. Excellent. So I think that that's what you meant by compatibility. So you, in the premarital relationship, are trying to determine, is this the person that the Lord has chosen for me? And if over time you're feeling, yes, it is, it is, it is, it is, what else is the premarital relationship about? What else? Looks like they are. Over time, looks like they are the right person. What else is the relationship about? Anyone? Guys? So, preparing yourself for marriage. So they might be the right person. Everyone has said they're right. Everything's moving right. But you've got to prepare yourself for marriage. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, financially, socially. You have to prepare yourself. You both have to prepare yourself. So that's the purpose, right? Remember, you are on track to be married, which is the symbol of Christ and the church, right? You're on track for that. That's where you're headed. So you need to know, is this person right or not? So that's a premarital relationship, okay? The Lord is going to select someone for you to get married to, and in that marriage, and in that physical union, and in that spiritual union, you will be a symbol of Christ in the church, right? And so before marriage, you're trying to work out, is this the right person? Because there are right people and there are wrong people. That's a fact. There are right people and wrong people. And if you feel that it is the right person, you are preparing yourself so that when you do get married, you're ready. You are ready as you can be. Okay? Beautiful. So now we can get on to the punchline of this of tonight's topic.
When do we get to ask questions?
Sorry?
Later.
On now. Someone took a really long time for the Bible study.
Yes. Oh, yes, I hear you, brother.
He's paying you enough.
Blah, 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 blah.
What? You guys are selling your marriage.
Oh, 40 years.
Marriage is beautiful, though.
Yeah.
It's not like that at all.
Oh, wow.
Not for the first week. Yeah, that's all right. Okay,
that's wrong.
So, giving everyone the wrong impression. So, now we can start talking about premarital physical relationship. What, how, when, how much, right? So, I'll say once more before we talk about it. We said marriage is just designed to let us understand Christ and the church. And within marriage, there's a physical relationship. God made it. He made you to love it. He made it to be enjoyable. He designed it to be enjoyable. But it's only a part of marriage. It's only one part of marriage. And before marriage, you're actually just trying to work out, is this person right or not? And if they're right, prepare yourself, get ready for marriage. All right? Let's talk about the premarital relationship, physical relationship. All right, I'm going to make a statement. Okay? I'm going to make a testimony. Yep, this will be a goodie. I'm going to remind all of you here, I was born in Australia.
Blacktown.
I was born on the eastern side.
Oh, wow.
Is that important? Sydney. This is not Egypt talking, right? This is church teaching. I want you to understand that, because if anyone kind of walks out going, oh, that's just Egypt, that's just what they do in Egypt, that's not, you know, that's so not like real, right, then you're cheating yourself. So this is Australia Christian talking. This is biblical orthodox teaching. Physical relationship before marriage. If you are wise, if you want the best outcome, you want to be assured of the best outcome, if you want to be cautious, and if you are willing to follow the advice of the church and Christian teaching, then I would say this. Before marriage, do nothing. Nothing. I would say, if you want to be wise, don't kiss, don't hug, don't hold hands, don't put arms around each other. Be spiritual brother and sister until the day you get married. This does not mean that if you do any of those things, that you're the devil and this relationship is a disaster and you're both going to hell and you're going to get divorced. I'm not saying that at all.
Jeez, that's a relief.
I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying...
Mina, throw her.
Kids that need you. So,
about time.
So I'm going to say it again. If you want my advice and the church's advice, biblical teaching, if you want to be wise, if you want to be as careful as possible, if you want the best possible outcome, have it black and white. Have an understanding, black and white. No physical relationship. I'll tell you why. And we'll go through why for the last 10 minutes of tonight. And I'd say, you know, I really mean nothing. As a decision between the two of you. Now, if any of you guys think that's madness, that's complete madness, like, who does that? Like, has this guy gone crazy? Right? Because everybody, like, relationships, that's what the relationship is, isn't it? Being together, holding hands, walking on your own down the Brighton, arm around arm, kissing a bit. Nothing wrong with that. Isn't that what the relationship is? Well, let me ask you.
He woke up. He's sleeping.
Let me ask you, who told you that that's what relationships was about? Where are you getting that information from? If that's like law, like natural law says that's what you have to do before marriage, where did you get that from? Who fed you those ideas?
Shmuda said home and away.
Shmuda is spot on. Shmuda is spot on. Where else did you hear from?
Big Bang Theory.
Where else? I mean, to you guys, so you guys might be thinking, this guy's from another planet, but where are you getting your perceptions from? From what?
Society.
Yes. From people around you. No. No, or very little Christ there. From movies. Have they been written by the Lord? From television. From music. From magazines. Completely devoid of Christ. Is that where you learn your life principles from? Is that what you will then determine the way to live your life? Do you look at all those things and say, well, that's what they do, that must be what I should do, that's normal? Something ridiculous on television in the waiting room. I went out of the waiting room at the hospital to get some coffee. I look up on a stupid chat show in the middle of the day. They've got these two women. Their topic of discussion is how cheating in the marriage is really healthy. It's really healthy and shouldn't be looked down upon. Are these... And so, of course, imagine if you say to them, you shouldn't even kiss before. Imagine what they would think of that. Who is telling you that there's an absolute necessity to a physical relationship before marriage? Where'd you get that from? From Christ? Or from the absence of Christ? And if it's the absence of Christ, then you should be open to another way. You should say to yourself, you know what? I know that that's what I've always thought, you know, as people in a relationship, I've been looking forward to it, you know, and I know even in the church it happens a lot around us, and that's what I've always wanted, I've been looking forward to it, it's cool, you know, and I'm in the church, she's in the church, we're not doing anything wrong, I've been really looking forward to it, but I say to you, consider another way. And let's just go through very quickly why. Number one, This is number one of this section. New section.
I still have three questions from that.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Number one, right? Number one, we said the main aim of the premarital relationship is to determine if this person is right or wrong for you. Let me tell you, the Lord will tell you softly. He will speak so softly over time. Whether it's yes or no, it'll be a soft yes or a soft no over time, over a long period of time. He will never come down and shake you and say, this girl is not for you, you idiot! I said she's a... He'll never do that.
That'll be your father.
He will never do that. He will prick your heart. He will give you a sense over time, over weeks, over months and months, maybe even over years. Things might be going well, and then over time, he will say to you, this man is not for you. Quietly, softly, through the words of other people. You need to be open to hear other people. You need to be seeking the opinion of those more mature. They will speak softly. So you need to have a very sensitive ear and a quiet environment. So why all of this? Why do I say all of this? A physical relationship is incredibly loud. Your whole body, your whole mind, your whole emotion, all of your desires are screaming. If you enjoy a physical relationship, even just holding hands, you are attuning yourself to that desire for physical. And it's God-given. Remember I said, I'm not saying you've made it. It's God-given. It's in you. God made you to want that. God wants you to have it. God made it to be enjoyable. But it's loud. And if you are on fire physically and you're giving into that and you're allowing that to be a part of your relationship, you're really drawn to it, you're really attracted, and you're giving into that, and you're letting that be part of your relationship, you will never hear a soft voice. You will resist it with all your might because you're enjoying the physical. How could this be wrong? It's so enjoyable. You won't hear. The physical relationship can really mask underlying problems. Let me tell you something, right? If you have, you know, let's say you're going out with a girl or a guy, and you've heard this talk, and you've sat together, and, you know, and you said, you know what? He's an idiot. But let's just do what he says anyway. Let's like try it out, right? And let's not do anything. We're going to hang out together. We'll go out for walks. We'll go grab coffee. But let's never touch. We have no physical relationship. And you both go, let's try it. 3 months, right? Let me ask you a question. When you go out, what are you going to do?
Hands in your pockets.
Your own pockets. You're having coffee. What are you going to do? And then you go for a walk, and what are you going to do? And it's really romantic spot up on the wall down at Cronulla, you know, overlooks the beach, and you sit on the wall. And the
no, you don't do that.
Coming down. No. Personally, I think you're sanctified with the born and everything, parents know about, it's cool. And you sit down on the wall, and this is the moon. What are you going to do? You're going to talk, right? You're going to talk. And you'll talk. Let me tell you something. If you start to give into the physical relationship, that when you're together, you're with each other physically, hugging, holding hands, kissing, you might be able to do that for hours. And you very easily will stop talking. And if there is a problem, you're just, if there's something's not quite right, like things are going off track, then you don't, when you're together, you don't really do talk much and you're just with each other physically. You won't work out your problems. And you won't be growing spiritually. There is no way when you are driven physically that the two of you will grow together spiritually. It won't happen. We said that part of your premarital relationship is to find out if they're right or not. And part of the premarital relationship, once you've worked out that you're pretty sure they're right, is to prepare yourself. Well, when you're kissing and hugging and holding hands, you are not preparing yourself emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. You are not talking about the Lord. You're not praying together. You're not reading the Bible together. You're not serving together. You're not doing any of that. You're being together physically. You're not preparing yourself at all. All right. I am sure some of you are thinking there are a couple of problems with this approach. And this is the last two things I'll say. You might say to yourself, this guy, he's a lunatic. Because as Christopher said, how are you going to know physically if you're compatible? You hear that a lot. How are you going to know physically if you're compatible? A lot of people, like if you said this like to the outside world, they'll go, do you mean you're going to marry a girl you've never had sex with? Are you crazy? Or are you going to go and marry a guy you've never slept with? Well, what is wrong with you? What if you're not compatible? Right?
And that's the exact phrase they use.
Yeah.
I got that. The compatible.
What if they're not compatible? Well, let me tell you a couple of things. For people who love the Lord, relationships will never fail for physical incompatibility. Ever. That is not a problem that people have. If you go and you ask, marriages that are broken up, what's happened in this marriage, what's the problem, what's happened to you guys, people don't talk about physical incompatibility. She doesn't, do this around the house. He comes here, puts up his feet and throws his stuff around, She's been so rude, I can't believe it. He's always arguing. It's nothing. It is totally a lack of love, respect, submission, compassion, kindness, patience, peace, self-sacrifice. That's what destroys marriages, not a lack of physical compatibility. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. If the Lord, over time, if you have prayed and listened to His soft voice and been guided by the Lord and your confession father and your spiritual servants and your parents into a relationship, and the Lord has told you this girl is for you or this guy is for you, you will not have a problem with physical compatibility. That will not be your problem. So don't feel you need to physically be with a girl for that reason or a guy for that reason. And this is the last point. Some of you guys might be saying, right? Some of you guys might be thinking, if we never hold hands and we don't hug, if we don't kiss, what the hell is going to happen on the first night? What on earth, are we going to do? We're not going to know anything. We're not going to have any idea what we're doing. And here I quote, my favourite line from one of your authors. I'll never forget when he said this. He said, if you remember nothing else for tonight, remember this. Abu Yaqub said, blessed is the husband and wife who have no idea what they're doing on the first night. I'm going to repeat that for you, because it's actually really deep. Blessed is the husband and wife who has no idea what to do on their first night. What does he mean by that? He's saying, if you've been so pure and you've loved the Lord and you have really, yourself and your partner have kept yourself so pure until that night that you're so inexperienced, you don't know what to do, you are so blessed. Why? You've got the rest of your lives to work out what to do. You've got the rest of your lives to learn about each other in every way, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and physically. You have the rest of your life to learn that. So anyone here who says, I need to, you know, be with her, need to be with him, we need to at least be a bit together so we know what's going on, so it's not so strange on that first night, remember what Abunayu Ord said. Blessed is the husband and wife who have no idea, because they will have a beautiful honeymoon getting to know each other. They will have a beautiful time. They will be so pure, the Lord will be so amongst them, they will have an incredibly blessed marriage. Alright, so let's just summarise the final few points. Let's just summarise this talk. And remember, this is the church wanting to let go of your hand next to the highway. He or she who understands, then the church can let go of their hand next to the highway. You won't run out into the highway. So let's explain the highway, right? Marriage has been given to us so that we can understand Christ's relationship with the church. That's why it exists. It doesn't exist for you to do whatever you want, right? That's obscene. That is devilish, to think that your physical relationship is for you to do whatever you want, right? That's devilish. The Lord created the physical relationship in marriage so you can have insight into Christ's sacrifice for the church and his relationship with the church, his bride. So that's why it's there. So if you want to be married, realize you are looking to emulate that. So within that marriage, he's created love making, and he's designed it to be beautiful and enjoyable. He's designed it to be pleasurable. He made it to be pleasurable, and he wants you to obtain pleasure from it. He wants you to do that. So, in your premarital relationship, there is only two aims really that you should be seeking. Is this the right person? And if they are, prepare yourself for marriage. Both of you prepare yourselves. And so what does this mean about the physical relationship before marriage? It's loud, so you may not hear. It will occupy everything in you and your time. You may not grow. And what about the criticisms that some people might say that you're not compatible? Well, that's garbage. If the Lord says you're compatible, if you've heard his soft voice, you're compatible. Physical is not an issue. You'll learn about each other physically. And that final point is that blessed is the husband and wife who've got no clue how to kiss, what to do, you know, because so what? You've watched movies where people get married and they have the most romantic, you know, that's not real. That's not Christ. That's not the church. That's not his teaching. That's not the institution of marriage the Lord created. So if that's the image you want, you are being directed by something other than Christ. Blessed are you if you've been praying together, reading the Bible together, serving together or going to pre-service together, attending masses together, talking with each other, knowing and growing together, you are very blessed. You'll have a beautiful marriage. Much more than people who had a very full physical relationship before marriage, they may struggle. And the final thing to say is, if you ever see people in the church who are engaged, whatever, having a physical relationship, don't judge them. I'm not saying to you that this means that they are a disaster. But if someone comes to you, you guys don't need to see, some kid comes, is in year 10, and says, you know, I really want to get into a good course, I'm having a lot of difficulty studying. You might say, how do you study? They go, well, I come in, I turn on the television, and I put my iPod in as well, and then I put my books in front of you. And you go, well, you know, it's probably that's not the best environment to study in. And they might say, are you saying it's absolutely impossible for me to do well by studying? Then you might go, well, no, it's not impossible. You might do all right, but you might fail. And even if you pass, you probably could have done better. So that's what I say about the physical relationship. It doesn't mean that it's a disaster if you find people having a physical relationship. Is there a better way? Yes, there's a better way. Yes, there's a better way. If you want the best way, that's the way I think you guys should go. And glory be to God forever. Any of these movies? So, one question says, and thank you for the questions. First question says, wouldn't you be burnt with lust during your post-marriage physical relationship? So, what I can assume from that is saying, does this mean that if you spend the whole premarital time not doing anything, aren't you just going to burn up with lust in the post-marriage, like once you get married? The answer is no. You, within marriage, within love, have an avenue to enjoy your physical relationship together. And you might say, once you've burned with lust, you know, and you know, I remember I once had a servant come in, I was serving in year 10, he was married, I wasn't married, and he comes in, and you know, he's quite a bit older than me, and I'm saying, I said, you do the talk on relationships, you know. He comes in and he says, guys, you know, this class never listens, right? This class, collab, all collab. Never listen. They're always hitting each other, blah, blah. And he says, guys, I bet you think you're going to get married and you're going to have sex 7 times a day. Non-stop. And you could tell that's what they were all thinking, right? Right? You could tell that's what they were all thinking. And this servant says, let me tell you, that doesn't happen. I'm like, what the hell is this guy saying? So why do I bring that up? Within marriage, you will find very quickly that your physical relationship is a part, just a part. It is one of the ways you enjoy the company of your spouse. One of the ways. And together in love and in enjoyment and in sharing, the two of you will enjoy some physical and some other things together. So it's hard sometimes before you get married to understand that, but if you are prepared yourself in the Lord and seeing that the Lord says that marriage, the husband sacrifices himself for the wife and the wife submits to her husband, and there is love and giving and generosity and patience and sharing and what would you like, if that's what your marriage is, then you will very quickly have a physical relationship that is satisfying for both. So no, it's not the case of you've pent up all this demand and then there's an, you know, just, you know, explosion, or, you know, you just don't know what to do with yourself. That it's not like that. It's not like that. And the relationship in caring and loving will very quickly work out what is good for each of you, and will be very enjoyable for both of you in love and in sacrifice and in caring and in deferring to the desires of your partner. That's a very good question. Is it true that God has a special one created for each of us? That's a very good question. I don't know whether there is a one, but I do feel that the Lord will show you a path. I don't know if that means that there is a one, you know, and if you stuff up at one point. I don't think that at all, actually. Like, there's this one, and then you stuffed it, because at that particular time you weren't very spiritual, or this or that, or something happened, or someone got in the way, and then that one's gone. No, I think that the Lord will guide you over time to the one that is right for you. There might be multiple that are right, but you need the Lord to guide you. You need the Lord to guide you. To guide you and to guide the other person to show you the right one. What does that mean by guiding you? That's not just, you know, saying, oh, I really like this guy. And you go, Lord, get the Bible. Tell me this is the right one. And you open it and you go, no. Tell me it's the right one. And you keep going, it's not about that. It's about over time, through proper relationship with your father profession, through listening to your parents, through listening to the people around you, through listening to the Lord in your heart in prayer, to looking at the circumstances around you, over time things are either converging together and going well, or gradually moving apart, and you've got the wisdom to stop it. Okay? So one thing I didn't say, do you know if you have a strong physical relationship with someone before marriage, you will have enormous difficulty stopping that relationship. You're deriving so much joy out of it, and it's all you know now, that you just don't want to stop it. Even if there's things that person's doing that you think aren't right. Because what are you going to then do? You become so accustomed to it. How can you stop it? You become so accustomed to that joy that you get, that pleasure. How can you stop it? All right, question number three. There are always consequences. So what are the negative effects of having sex before marriages? So it's true, there are always consequences. I remember Abuni Aub again once said that the person who has sex before marriage, who repents, the Lord has accepted their repentance. There's no doubt about it. But there'll be consequences, right? There are consequences. Like, you can't possibly think, I'll put this to you another way. I talked about this with the classes when I talked about pornography. Not that this is pornography, but it's the same kind of line. Do you think that the person who keeps himself completely pure from pornography, never looks at it, never allows themselves to have their eyes drawn to it, you know, vigorously defends their eyes from looking at pornography, runs from it, turns off the computer, refuses all their life. You've got that person. Then you've got another person who for maybe many, many, many years has allowed themselves to be exposed to pornography, has looked at pornography, has enjoyed pornography, has sought for it, has hidden themselves in their room, has spent hours and hours and days and weeks, years looking at pornography, and then repents, completely repents of that sin and stops it completely. So now you've got two people who are no longer looking at pornography and they will never look at it again. Are these the same people? It's impossible. It's impossible. They are both fully repentant and accepted before the Lord, and should they both die in that instant, they are saved. But are they the same for the rest of their path on earth? They're not. They're not. One has been burnt. One has been scarred. One has been damaged. When I give a talk on pornography, I give out all these articles from the Sydney Morning Herald that talk about the damage that pornography does to people and does to their relationships when they get married. These counsellors who are completely unchristian, they couldn't care less about Christ. They think there's nothing wrong with pornography, but they go, you know what? We've been noticing that people who look at pornography for many years before they get married, they can't have normal marriages. They have real difficulty having a normal marriage, having normal physical relationships. Their ideas of physical relationships are stuffed, completely stuffed. They've been fed this information which is so not Christ and the church. So this question says, what about sex before marriage? Are there consequences? For those of you who have never fallen, I would say you struggle with all your heart to not ever fall, so that you don't have consequences. For those who have fallen and who have repented, good on you for repenting, and the Lord will have accepted your repentance. But yes, there might be consequences for you. Maybe you won't be as happy physically in your relationship. Maybe, maybe it won't be as pure for you or as special for you. Something must be gone. There must be a blessing that you've lost. Are you still accepted before the Lord? 100%. Are you still His child? Absolutely. Are you accepted before Him and you can partake of the body and blood? 100%. Have you lost a blessing? You've lost a blessing. Yes, you've lost a blessing. So for those of you who haven't done that, I'd say to you, hold on to that blessing with all your might. Don't let it go. And the other physical relationship, kissing, hugging, all those, it's a continuum. Do you guys think you can do absolutely everything, but just sexual intercourse is the only thing that you can do wrong? Of course not. Then there's a whole host of spectrum. Why start walking along that spectrum, going from white all the way to black through all those shades of grey? Why do that? Just say to your partner, let's be white. It's easy. Let's just be white. Let's just be separate. Let's just be together, intellectually together. Physical will come at a later time, and it'll be beautiful. But let that come later. And then final question. Can you go back? Can you get your purity back? So a couple of ways to address this question. I guess we've already spoken about sexual virginity. So you can spiritually become a virgin again, yes, but physically you can't. And as we said, there will be a blessing lost. This doesn't mean for you that all is lost. Definitely not. Definitely not. The Lord was able to take the most sinful person and turn their life around completely. Okay? So, yes, you can become pure again. There must be something that you've lost. Yes, there must be something that you've lost. Another way to interpret this question is, what if you're in a relationship and you've been having a physical relationship for many years? Maybe not sexual intercourse at all, but holding hands and hugging and kissing has become a part of the relationship. Can the relationship regain purity? Absolutely. Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can just say, you know what, from now on, let's do this. Let's do this. I'll tell you, you might say, oh, it's easy for you. So Marianne, my wife, she was in America, right? And this is, shows my age. This is pre-Skype. Right? It's pre-Skype. You have to pay for your phone calls. 19 cents a minute for the US back then. On student's way. That's a lot of money. So she lived on the other side of the world. Right? So we talk. We talked, and we talked, and we talked, and we talked, and we talked. That was a real blessing. That was a blessing for us. We were forced to talk. If you have no physical relationship, you'll be forced to talk. And it'll be a blessing for you. It'll definitely be a blessing. So if you've gone, if you've started doing something already, can you get your purity back? Absolutely. You can go back and say, let's do this from now on, and it'll be perfect for you. And let me tell you, if you have been having a physical relationship with another person and they're in the church, and I suspect you're always going to be struggling a bit. There's always going to be a little discontent. You want to go a little bit further, but then you also feel a bit guilty. But then when you're together, how much more, it's enjoyable, just a little bit more. But then, there's a little bit of, discontent afterwards, Like, yes, it's enjoyable, but it's not so comfortable. And then, yes, it's enjoyable, but you want it even more enjoyable, you want to do even more. And when you don't do even more, you wish you could do more. But when you do even more, you're feeling like a bit guilty and a bit dirty, or we shouldn't have done that. Right? Why do that? Imagine you just say, Nothing. Nothing. Cut all of that, you know, forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and how much, and I wish we were doing a little bit more and I wish we had done a little bit less. Cut all of that out and be relaxed. Completely relaxed. You know, completely relaxed. And just talk. Or snore, as you want to say. And glory be to God for now. I'm sorry I've been for so long.
Well, at least you're sorry.
Well, can we stand up for prayer?